Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Tonight, we're going to take a few minutes, and my biggest prayer for tonight, I know we know that God is, or most of us know that God is everywhere, right? But we don't always experience that, do we? We kind of think God's there, or God's here, or God's over there, or God's in this, or when I go to church, God is there. And even when we go to church sometimes, we know we're going to meet with God, and it's a house of God, but we don't always experience it. And my prayer tonight, as I was getting ready all this week and a little bit last week, is just that as we close tonight, I'm not big on experiential, but it sure helps when you're having a hard time, right? To know that somebody's got their arm around your shoulder, to know that someone's there with you. And my prayer tonight is that you will know and experience the fact that God is seated right there with you tonight. And the first thing, I'm not a big sports fan, so I'm here tonight instead of watching the Grey Cup, but I like watching the Grey Cup. But some of you will be more of sports fans, and you'll know baseball, and I've seen kind of his story before. And Jackie Robertson, anybody know that name? A few people do. Was one of the first Afro-American baseball players. And he was one of the first guys to start playing in the major leagues and make a big deal. And people shouted him down, and they jeered him, and I've watched a little bit of his story before. Even his own teammates, when he was standing there, would come by and step on his feet, or they'd kick him and that kind of stuff, and he was playing in a game at Brooklyn in his hometown, and he made an error at second base, and the entire place started just jeering him and shouting at him, and get off the field, and everything that, and there was a guy named Pee Wee Reese, who was the shortstop. And I don't know if he wrestled with it in his head first or whether he just did it and then afterwards, but he left shortstop and walked over to Jackie and faced the crowds, put his arm around his shoulder, and just stood there. And gradually the crowds got quieter. And Jackie says afterwards that that arm around, and Jackie had a choice too to push Pee-wee's arm off and say, don't touch me, whatever, right? But he stood there, and the two of them stood there, and they had a dynamic relationship for the rest of their careers working together in baseball. And my prayer tonight is that each and every one of us would experience that arm around our shoulder, that we would experience that from God tonight. You might not even see somebody. You might need somebody to physically put their arm around your shoulder, but you might not be there tonight. And we all have kind of been in that place of shame, right? And for Jackie, it wasn't necessarily his, it was his fault he made a mistake, but it wasn't his fault who he was. And so we're not always at blame, but sometimes we are at blame. But we've all experienced that, doing something and then realizing that all of a sudden it was exposed, right? All of a sudden it became public. And we watch TV shows like America's Funniest Home Videos. Anybody like watching those shows? And we love watching other people make mistakes, don't we? That was pretty funny, right? But all of us, when we trip or when we fall or when we do something stupid, the first thing we do is we're like, oh, we've all experienced that shame. We've all experienced those moments when we're like, boy, I hope nobody sees that, right? I hope nobody has come to the place where they experienced that part of my life along with me. And David kind of went through that in the Psalms. And he went through both sides of it. In the Psalms, it says in one place where there was people after him. They were like, aha, we've got him now, right? Their entire life was after David to try to catch him in a moment and to point that out and say, look at David did this, or I caught him, right? And he's like, God, please be on my side. There was other moments in his life where he was exposed by, I think Pastor Mike even talked about it this morning, Nathan the prophet came, right? And he had been guilty of a lot of things that he was hiding. And there's kind of always both sides of the coin where we're fighting on one side. We're like, it should be exposed, right? It should be brought out into the public. It should be brought out into the real. And there's the other side where we're like, it should be covered. And usually when it's our mistake, we're like, it should be covered, right? It should be something that maybe I don't want everybody to know. When it's someone else's mistake, we quite often say, it should be exposed. It should be dealt with. It should be brought to light. And if we don't feel like we've ever done anything wrong or been guilty of something, We all would say we're in Canada right now, right? Anybody not in Canada? At least one person could put your hand up and say, you know, I believe that I'm somewhere else, that kind of thing. But we're all in Canada, and there's a Canadian legislation that I never knew about until this week. But there was a little boy who was 1 year old, and his name was Fred Lee, and he lived in China. And years ago, when they were finishing off the Canadian Railroad, there's probably 15,000, 20,000 from the different numbers that I read, people that Chinese that came over to Canada and worked in that last push to make it through the Rocky Mountains. And many of them were killed. Many of them died on the railway tracks and that kind of thing. And their families were separated, and they were hoping to bring their families here afterwards. And probably about 20, 30 years after that, some of them were still in Canada and hoping to bring their families over here. But Fred Lee was 1 year old when his dad left home, and he didn't see his family again for 18 years because of a legislation that Canada made that was basically called the Chinese Exclusion Act, which I knew nothing of. But we celebrate on Canada on July 1st. We celebrate Canada Day. I'm like, woo, yeah, right? But for many Chinese Americans, it's known as the Day of Shame. Because on July 1st, 1923, they closed the doors and said, you know what? There's no Chinese immigration anymore. And that's a part of, if we say we're living in Canada, that's a part of our history. There's many other things we could pull out of our history and say, oh, I'd kind of rather not deal with that, or I'd rather not talk about that or whatever, right? And there's always two sides of a coin. I'm going to get B just to put up a slide here, the next one. Just click once. And on a quarter, click one more time, sorry. What do you see on the what do you see on the quarter? Click one more time, Beatrice. There we go. What do you see? What do you see? I don't know. I never thought of that, whether it's a caribou or a deer. How many people think it's a deer? How many people think it's a caribou? It's carried. It's a caribou. How many think it's something else? An elk, maybe? Maybe we better all go work on our Canadian knowledge. I didn't think of it, but click one more time. You're all wrong. Whoop, you clicked two times. Oh, well. I was going to say, you're all wrong. It's actually the head of a queen, or I should have looked even closer. Is that the queen? Yeah, Queen Elizabeth II. There we go. See, there's two sides of the coin all the time, right? And I actually have a coin in my pocket, and thought, the illustration-wise, if I hold it up here, I can see one side, right? But there's a certain point where now I can't see, I can only see one side. It's impossible, pretty much, for me to see both sides at the same time. And the next time I speak on a Sunday night, I'm going to speak on the opposite side of the coin. But tonight I'm going to speak on the side of being covered. And the next time I speak, I'm going to speak on the other side of being hidden. Now, I know there's different word plays you can use or whatever, but for me, the one side being covered is just like Jackie. Someone come along beside you, putting their arm around your shoulder, saying, you know what, I got this. I'm with you. I'm going to go through it with you. I'm on your side. I'm getting in your boat. I'm going with you. There's the other side that's hidden, where we have sin and disobedience and brokenness, where we don't let anybody know. And we say, it's just going to be me. I'm hiding this. It's in the back room. It's nowhere. And those times, we also need to have God speak into our lives, speak into our hearts, and change who we are and how we've been called. And it's kind of a crazy story. The whole thing is an amazing story, right? I mean, I love the fact that people who talk about the great flood, Noah's flood, say, you know, where'd all the water go? And then you pull out a world globe and say, 70% of the earth is covered with water. And that's just the top of it, right? It goes down 7 miles in some places. But basically, Noah was called by God. He was called as a righteous man. And him and his three sons and their wives went on this big, huge boat. And they went for 40 days and 40 nights. It rained. Can you imagine if tonight didn't stop for 40 days and 40 nights for a month and a little bit, it just kept raining? It feels like that this winter. I know our water table's as high as it's ever been at our house and that kind of thing, with our sump pumps running and everything. And my well comes out of the ground about this far, and the water table in the well is about 6 inches above the ground. It's actually coming out of the top of the well. I've never seen it do that before, but it's doing that. But he was on there for a year as the water's kind of subsided and dried up, and he gets off the boat. And the first thing he does is a very good thing. He gets off and he builds an altar, and he worships God. And then there's this crazy story that some people have used to beat people up with that I don't believe is true. But he gets off and he plants a vineyard, and he gets drunk, and he lays around in his tent naked. Not exactly what you would think of the guy that God chose to be on the ark, right? Which is partially proof, I believe, that the Bible is what it says it is. The reality, the word of God, telling the truth about history, about time, about people. If we wrote it and we were trying to put forth our best foot, Noah, the righteous man that was the only man that was saved, that went on the ark and he got off the ark and he lived righteously and he had a wonderful family and he lived great and he was an amazing person and he founded 80 churches and he built the cities that were all surrounded by God or whatever, right? But God tells the truth and he says, you know what? Noah got off the boat. He did some good things. He worshiped God. He lifted up his voice to God. But he also planted a vineyard. And in that vineyard, he got out and he got drunk. And he got so drunk that he passed out. And he was so drunk and he so passed out that he didn't even realize that where people were coming and going from his tent. And it says that his youngest son came into the tent, saw that his father was naked, and went out and publicly started just telling everybody. And it says that his older two sons went and got a blanket and walked in backwards and covered their father, covered his nakedness. And the Bible talks about nakedness in a few different ways. In Exodus 20, it has very practical things that probably we could relate to today in some ways simpler. In Exodus, it says the priest shouldn't go up on the stone altar. It says he shouldn't climb up just in case he exposes his nakedness. Now, that's not reality today, but I gotta be honest. Every single time I go up on the stage, the last thing I do before I walk out from there up here is check my fly, right? I've done it once in my life, and I've seen other pastors do it. I saw one pastor do it who had his fly down and his dress shirt was sticking out the entire sermon, right? So everybody is just like the entire time, right? I've done it once, but I was actually playing guitar, so it kind of covered me a little bit or whatever, right? But in honesty, that's what I do, right? If in Leviticus, it talks all about sexual relationships and about nakedness and those kind of relationships, you know, how to have proper relationships. And in Ezekiel and in Hosea, God uses the example of Israel and how they are constantly prostituting themselves, how they are constantly walking away from God, walking away from this relationship with a God who says, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. I want to be your God with no other one above, right? And he constantly keeps relating to that and keeps coming back to that. Obviously, you have Adam and Eve. When their eyes were opened, they thought they were going to have this great, huge revelation where they were going to be all of a sudden amazing, but the only thing they discovered was that they were naked, which really shouldn't have been a big deal because they were husband and wife, and they were the only people on the earth, right? So it should have been like, woohoo, we're naked. Hi, honey. I'm home. Marina's here tonight, and she's like, oh, no. But that's, right? But it was their disobedience that was not hidden. They were clothed after that, and God said to them, he said, you know what? Fig leaves aren't enough. They tried to take these little leaves and just kind of cover slightly. And God said, no, you need some clothes, right? And he covered them. He covered their nakedness. But when you cover, this is kind of the other side a little bit. When you cover the nakedness, sometimes you don't cover the disobedience, the heart attitude. And I think that falls a little bit more into that hidden side where you're trying to put on a front, even what Pastor Mike was talking about this morning. God can't bless the fake you, right? God needs to know who you are, and God needs to, you need to say, God, this is who I am, and I need you to cover me in the midst of all of that and to walk with me. The biggest thing I think is Ham's brokenness and Ham's sin is that he does nothing to cover his father. Instead, a kind of stretch it a little bit maybe, but instead he comes out of the tent and he says, yo, hey, come on over here. Dad's naked. Ah, that's hilarious, man. That father's in there naked. That's stupid, man. He's just like totally passed out and drunk. Like, let's put it on the tabloids. Let's put it on YouTube. Let's shoot it up and show it for everybody. That kind of thing, right? And his two older brothers said, nah, let's walk in backwards and cover my father's nakedness, which was appropriate to say, Dad's made a mistake. Dad's kind of exposed. Dad's kind of out there. And we want to cover that brokenness. We want to cover that hurt. We want to cover that pain. We want to cover that mistake. Not in a way where we're saying we're just going to ignore it, but to bring reality to it and to cover it and say, you know what? I'm going to walk alongside with them. What does it mean to be covered, to be overlaid or to spread on top or to spread or topped with? The example of the ark and Noah. The ark covered them, right? It protected them from the elements. It kept them going through. And this verse, 1 Peter, First Peter 4:8 says this. And the ones in brackets are just different translations. Sometimes I like reading different translations, and it just really brings it to life. It says, the ark, it says, above all, other translations say, most importantly. If it's most important, we should probably pay attention, right? Love each other deeply. Other translations said, consistently, sincerely, and intensely. Because love covers over. Another translation said, throws a veil over or wipes away a multitude of sin. Now, one side of me says, that's not fair, right? They should pay the penalty. They should pay the price. They should suffer for what they've done. The other side of me says, I should probably help them out. You hear the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Walking through, and some people are like, oh, that guy's in the ditch, and he's beat up, and he's probably paying the penalty for what he should have received and that kind of thing. And the other person comes alongside him and says, hey, can I help you? Can I pay for it? Can I take you to the hotel? Can I cover you? Can I get all that needs to be done? And I think in both places, we need to have God come into our heart and come into our lives and walk with us and walk through different things. Ham exposed, his brothers Japheth and Shem covered. Do you want to be a person who covers others, not a person who exposes, picks at, pulls apart, points out every fault? Do you want to be the kind of person that kind of comes along and encourages people? And you may not see the total excellence in them, but you call it out of them. You see the image of Christ in them and you call it out of them. You don't harp on every single thing that's broken or wrong, or they did this or they did that or they did this or they did that. But you say, you know what? I remember there was one girl in youth group that she had a really hard home situation. And I remember talking to her one time about honor your father and mother. And I said, you know what? If you want to be a Christian, I said, I have a great mom and dad. I don't have too much problems. I could go on here tonight and say how much I honor my father and I honor my mother because of things they've done in my life and in other people's lives and stories I've heard of how they've touched other people's lives. But for her, I honestly, looking at it, thought, I said, you know what? If you want to be a Christian and you want to choose that lifestyle of living the way God has called you to live, I said, it might take you 3 days. It might take you a week. But you have to find at least one thing that you can say, I honor my dad because of this. For you, it's going to be a lot harder than it is for me. But if you want to do what God's called you to do, then you need to, in some way, the way God has called you to, cover your father and say, Dad, I honor you for this. It's a choice that you make. It's a hard choice, but it's a choice that you make. You could much easily make a list of all the things you don't honor him for, which you can't honor someone for something that's not honorable. But I like the way someone said it like this. They said, if your motivation is revenge and retaliation, and you don't get justice, or you do get justice, then you'll still have a heart of revenge and retaliation. Your heart will still be bitter. Even if you get justice, the motivation behind it is still going to be, yeah, I got them. Just like I read at the beginning, David, his enemies were saying, aha, we've got him, we're after him, we've got him by the shoulders now, whatever, right? And there's two sides. God's throne, it says, the foundations of his throne are on justice and mercy. Do the two of them fit together? Not really, right? Justice, they should pay the penalty. Mercy, they should be forgiven. And back and forth it goes. But God says, the word of God says, his foundations of his throne is based on those two very things. And if you have love, and if your motivation is love and compassion, whether you get justice or don't get justice, you will still have love and compassion in your heart. You will still have something inside of you. A couple of verses from Proverbs says this. It says, hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. I wrestle with those verses. Love covers over all wrongs? Shouldn't we bring people? And like I said, there's two sides to this. Tonight I'm going to speak on the one side of it. A little more of the mercy side. There is the justice side as well that we can't ignore, but we can't look focus on both of them at the same time. Another verse in Proverbs just says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And David in the psalm says this, speaking of metaphorically of God, as if he was a bird, as if he was, you know, you've seen the pictures of the birds in their nests or whatever, right? And they've got their wings all over their babies and they're covering them. It says this in Psalms 91. It says, God, he covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. When everyone else has left, he will still be there. When everyone else is shouting, when everyone else is jeering, when everyone else is stepping on your feet, when everyone else is kicking you, God will still have his arm around your shoulder. And in one way, it's our choice to say, God, I let you have your arm around my shoulder. God, I choose to see you in the midst of, if you were here this morning, a lot of what Pastor Mike was speaking of, God keeps us, kind of ties in. I'm like, well, that kind of ties into what I'm speaking on tonight. That kind of ties into what I'm speaking on tonight. God will be there with you, whether you're in the worst possible situation of your life or whether you're in the best possible situation of your life. One of my favorite stories is the woman caught in adultery, just because it comes down to her and Jesus face to face. And Jesus says, who condemns you? And I think, this is just Pastor Glenn speaking, this is not absolutely truth, but I think she was looking in his eyes, and I think Jesus was looking into her eyes, and he asked the question, who condemns you? And I think Jesus, in his heart and in his mind and his soul, was, please say no one. Please say no one. Please say no one. And I think if she would have said, Jesus, you condemn me, I think he would have had to go with justice and said, you deserve to die for your sin. But she didn't. She said, Jesus, no one. No one condemns me. That's a pretty hard thing to say, but I think because of who God was and because of the eyes of Jesus, because of his love and compassion, because of his mercy, because of his grace, I think he was like, I just want to cover you. My arm is around you. Please don't throw it off. Please be there. Please let me be a part of your life. Please let me comfort you in the midst. Please tell me the truth. Please be honest. Please be open. Please give it all. And you can trust me. You can lay it on the line and I will be there with you. I'm going to finish off. I'm going to get the worship team to come back. And in a few seconds, they're going to sing a couple more songs. And we're just going to take a few moments and just kind of apply this to our hearts. But John 3:16 says this. We could often just read John 3:16. I'm going to read John 16 and 17 tonight out of three different translations. So it kind of drives it home to what we're talking about tonight. It says this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then he says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. From the Amplified Version, it says this. It says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And finally, through the message. The message says it like this. It says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one needs to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And there's two things I want to finish with tonight. God's desire is to cover us. God's heart is to be there for us. God's desire is to be in every situation that we're in. Jesus comes alongside you when everyone else is jeering, shouting, pointing out your brokenness and your failures. He puts his arm around you, and more than that, he wants to bring out the image of God that is stamped on you. And he says, I want to bring that out, and I want to be there with you. And my prayer tonight, as they lead in worship, usually, if any of you, well, those of you know me, I usually really push for a point of decision. And quite often, if I'm speaking, I'll just say, I'm going to count to three. And at three, if you're making a decision for this or whatever I'm speaking on that night, I want you to do so. I want you to stand up, or I want you to move. But tonight, I'm not going to do that. I just really feel that God wants to touch you. Sometimes we need to come to God, but other times I think God runs to us. Like the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was making his way home, but the father ran to him. And my prayer this week, I came into the sanctuary and just went through all the rows. It was just that you would experience the arm of God right where you're sitting tonight. And you have two options. You can just stay there and as they worship, just worship. You're free to go as well in a few seconds. I mean, you're free to go anytime. You're not legally bound to be here at all on a Sunday night, but you made a choice to be here. I've also asked two people, and Pastor Mike's just going to sit on the front row here in a few seconds, and Janelle's going to come sit on the front row here as well. And if you just want that physical arm of God, I've asked them not to pray for you or anything. Just if you want to come to the front at any time while they're singing these two songs, I've just asked them to get up, guys with guys and girls with girls, and just put their arm around your shoulder for about 30 seconds and just stand there. Just as a representation of God standing there with you. And whatever God speaks to you, and if God's moving and you're emotional, whatever, we've got Kleenexes at the front row and that kind of stuff tonight, and just let God put his arm around you. And the second side of it tonight is, what's your motivation? Have you been bitter and revenge-filled with only motivation to expose, humiliate, bring down, degrade, to shame others? And you need God to forgive you and fill you with a love and a compassion that desires to see healing, restoration, as you cover someone else's brokenness. I think we all know the difference of someone coming along beside us like Ham, who wants to just put their finger in it. Say, you did this. I got them now. Boy, are they a bad person, right? We all know the difference between someone who's motivated by revenge and retaliation and just motivated by, I want to expose them. I want to bring them out and just put them on a pedestal and they deserve to be whatever this, that. And the other people, we all know what a difference is when we've made a mistake and we're broken and we're hurting. And somebody's motivated by love and compassion. Could be the exact same brokenness, but it could be two different people, and the one person comes alongside you and brings healing and brings restoration. And that's who God wants to be today. The songs they're going to sing, I want to pull out two lines that they're going to sing. In the Highlands. It says, oh, how high I would climb the mountains. If the mountains were where you hide, oh, how far I'd scale the valley if your grace the other side. Oh, how long have I chased rivers for lowly seas and where they rise against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. Because in the highlands and in the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I think sometimes we're like, God's over there, I gotta go get him. God's over here, I gotta go get him. I gotta get down and I gotta pray for 16 hours this week, which would be a good thing, and then God will bless me. But I think God is like that compassionate father who's just waiting to put his arm around you. And we believe in the fact that God is everywhere. God is here tonight. But do you really believe? The next verse in John 16 says that for those who believe, it's hope and it's life. For those who don't believe, they're already condemned. And the second song they're going to sing says this. It says, peace, bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still call the sea and still the raging storm in me. Every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name is the light that shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. So I'm going to pray, and after I pray, you're dismissed. I'm not going to call you to the front tonight, but I'm going to call you to spend some time tonight and just say, God, I want to experience your arm around my shoulder. I don't know if you've had a great week or you've had had a lousy week, or if God's been putting his finger on something in your heart tonight that is broken, that's hurting, that has never really been made public, but God's saying tonight, I want to be around, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you in that. So God, tonight, I just thank you for this place. God, I thank you for each and every person that came out on a stormy night and a different night, Lord Jesus, Father, and God, it's a smaller crowd tonight, but God, it's not about the smaller crowd, God, it's about you. But God, we want as many people who can be touched by you to be touched by you tonight. And God, my prayer all this week has been not that they would hear me speak, but God, my prayer is that they would feel your arm tonight on their shoulder. God, that they would sense the presence of God. God, that it would be more than just a message or a sermon. God, tonight it would be something that, you know what? God was there with me tonight. You know what? I was going through a hard time. And instead of exposing it, God came and he covered it. And there was deep, deep love. There was constant love. There was constant compassion. And that covered a multitude of sins. And God, just like that woman caught in the adultery when she left, Jesus said, go and sin no more. God, we give you the honor, we give you the glory tonight, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.